You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey! Welcome to Nightlight, everybody! In our new intro. This is Nightlight 2.0, rebooting, whatever you want to call it. I'm very, very excited to introduce my new co-host, Mr. Greg Bach. Hey, buddy.
Good evening, everyone. Hello, Pete. It's good to be here.
It's great
my radio voice.
I can't stay long, so I just want to say, Greg, I'm thrilled to be working with you. I've been a fan of yours, as you know, for the last couple years. I've actually known you for 3 years. But and you've been a great guest on Nightlight, which has been fun getting to know.
Thank you very much. I felt like I was auditioning for all those times. Like every time they saw me, they're like, he made it through the next phase. He made it through the next one. He's the guy.
Same here, buddy. We both have stand-up comedy in our background, which I find that's kind of a weird serendipitous thing that we ended up like this. But that can only work in our favor, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it'll be fun banter. At least it will be funny to us.
Correct. And that's what we're really aiming for here. Greg, as most of you know, hosted, well, he was on the air with Jane Matinair, the awesome Jane Matinair, Matinair on Air, and then hosted Civic Media Mornings. And I'm thrilled. I don't know what this is like for you, Greg. This is a little later in the day. Did you have to drink coffee as the day went on? Did you sleep in a little bit? What's the story there?
Oh, well, look at I'm that. On my second, like, I think, liter of coffee. right now. But no, I usually for years doing these shows, you know, whether it was the Up North News or Matinair on Air, I was usually getting up very early and driving to the old studio or coming in early to Radio Park where I'm at right now in Racine to prep. So I always had an alarm going. And this time last night, I'm like, I don't have to put up an alarm. I can sleep in. Well, I slept in until 6:45, so that's awesome. That feels great.
That's
I don't know
good.
If it's because I don't know if that makes me old or just my brain is wired now to always be up when the sun comes up, like I'm a farmer or something. But yeah, it's a new path, it's a new journey, and I'm happy to be here for it. I'm happy to be with you because we're gonna have a great time, and I'm happy that Dominic in Madison is our producer. We're gonna have a blast with
very
this.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Welcome, Dom Lee, as well. Yeah, this is a new partnership here. It's gonna be great. There will still be a lot of the old elements of Nightlight. We're gonna do the popcorn pick of the week, the question of the night. We're gonna talk entertainment, primarily in hour number two, and we'll cover current events in hour number one. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be working with you, Greg. And I haven't had a co-host before, so you just reach right through that screen and give me a poke in the chops if I'm yakking too much. Feel free.
All right, sir, I'll give you a poke in the chops. Yeah, man, that guy right there, like a cut of his jib.
Dom, I know it's early. How do you think it's going so far?
It's work in progress, all right? Work in progress, okay? But I'm excited to work with you guys, too. You know, I got two comedians this is amazing. This is a dream come true.
All right, tamp it down, kid.
Okay, seriously,
tamp it down. All right. You're not headlining this weekend. You can get a guest spot. You can get a guest set. That's fine.
Go ahead, Greg. Sorry.
I was going to say, with the new show, it's. I think there have been questions about what we'll be doing and what we'll be talking about. And I feel like, as you said, there'll be things we will, you know, have from 1.0, but it'll be, you know, we'll be talking some news. We'll be talking some topics that are going on throughout the country and having a good time, great guests, and really just keeping that vibe of fun on this program and having a good time. I'm really looking forward to this. And really, people have been asking, what are you going to do? I'm like, we're going to find out, you know?
Exactly. That's how I like to look at it. There's no story off limits, no person of, everyone's a person of interest. We're going to cover a lot of stuff. And you just mentioned some national stuff too, but we'll bring it back here to Wisconsin as well. There's always lots to talk about when you have those three: current events, culture, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And we'll bring that same kind of fun vibe to it. So I'm very excited and very, very just thrilled to be on the air with you and with Dom. So, and a shout out to Tucker, who has helped prepare us for this night and told us if we don't get it right, he cut off after he made the
exactly. Break, so I kicked him out of the stream. I was like, I don't need to hear this.
Right. Well, what's with the negative energy?
And honestly, a big shout out to the entire, like, you know, there's our great person, Amanda Nimmer. We also have Jamie and Chris. Like, there's a great team behind this show. A lot of people coming together to launch it right, to make it look good, and to have something really wonderful to present on day one. And we just go from here and have a blast. And people can be part of that conversation. They can always get in touch with us. They can call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that I still call Twitter. I don't know about the rest of you.
Same.
But So, be a part of the conversation, because, you know, we're going to have fun. But you being here, too, is what makes it even better.
Absolutely. Be part of the show. And we've got a great one tonight, aside from a couple dance numbers I prepared. I was going to surprise you, Greg. We've got a great guest. Noel Lieberman is going to join us at 5:35 tonight. He is running for the Madison Common Council. That will be exciting. And then in hour number two, my pal, soon to be our pal, Rob Thomas, will be here. He's a Madison-based film critic and writes, he's the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. And he writes about, have you ever read that publication, Greg, CityCast Madison?
Yeah, I've read it. Yes, I have. Yeah, it's fun. Really, it's very fun.
Really fun. Informative and fun, which I think, you know, we'll kind of do that too. So
I like, you know, I understand newspapers, what they have to do to present their information, but I like these independent sites where they can be fun and funny while informing you. And I think that's one of the main goals for me with this show, is that we will be having fun, we will be informative, we'll be learning, but it will always be wrapped around having a good time.
Totally agree. Oh, very well said. And, you know, so we got two great guests. We've got a question of the night coming up, we'll introduce. We've got a new team here. What do you say we get to some topics, Greg?
Let's get to the news. So we're going to just
I'm so sorry.
To give you an idea of what's going to be happening, we're going to be doing this. We're going to be talking about three stories in the first like half an hour of the show. We're, like I said, first night, working things out, having fun, but we picked our top three stories. And Pete, you brought a story that, you know, very, very topical. Everyone knows about the Olympics.
Yeah. And, you know, it was interesting. The last couple of weeks, every night I put the spotlight on a Wisconsin athlete. Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin was very well represented at the Olympics and came home with some serious hardware, specifically Jordan Stolz, who from Keewaskum, two golds and a silver, which I think is fantastic. The UW women's hockey team was well represented. And I will admit, I did not watch as much of the Olympics as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
Are you an Olympics guy, Greg?
There's a part of me that is not, because it's just like so much. I feel like you have to keep up with it because it's happening, especially when it's overseas. They're like, I'm not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch luge. But I also like want to be up to speed for these kind of conversations. So I watch a little, you know, I watch here and there.
Yeah.
I was very excited about the U.S. hockey teams, both hockey teams. And it's a lot of fun energy. One of the things I really enjoy is these folks are world-class athletes. And they want to win these medals, but at the end of the day, they are still hugging each other from different countries. They are excited for each other. They're jumping and yelling. They're crying together. And I love that camaraderie in the middle of what is probably one of the most competitive stages on the planet. That's something I love to watch, because they're all in it together and they're just having as much fun as possible while trying to represent their country.
It's great. And I know there was some controversy on the opening night ceremonies with the vice president being there and the athletes and some people, but the second the sport started, that was all forgotten. Like, I kind of forgot that even happened. And then you could focus on, you know, and I wanted to mention this too about Jordan Stolz. He set a record too, beat a new Olympic record in the 1,000 meter. And he took almost a full second off of the previous record. That's cool. And then you've got, her name was Harvey. Where is this? On the UW Badgers. She's from one of the Badgers. And she was named, and I can't find it right now, Greg. This is one of those opening night.
Dom, you got that?
It's Caroline Harvey. Yes.
There it is.
Caroline Harvey. Yep. And she was named the MVP, I believe, right? If I remember correctly, the first Badger player to be named MVP in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. So yeah, Wisconsin very well represented.
Very much love that. There was controversy this year. We had, like, you know, people speaking their mind, American athletes speaking their mind about how they felt about the climate. And then of course, people saying, send them home. They're terrible. They're very awful. Take their medals away. It's like, all right, they can also just talk if they'd like. But then this whole thing with the hockey game this past weekend with the men's hockey game, FBI Director Kash Patel hops on a plane on our dime and goes and watch some hockey in Italy, and people getting way too excited about a sport they don't care about for 3 years and 52 weeks out of the, you know, it's like, they're like, we're the best at hockey. It's like, it's fine, but
yeah,
it's not a reason. Like,
it's
on
weird
Twitter, they're so excited about winning hockey, whereas most of these people are like, don't care about hockey. But at this moment, America beat Canada, and that's all they care about.
Right. And I will be the first to admit, I am that person. Like, the Olympics happens every 4 years. I don't watch a regional luge or, you know, the Pan Am luge. I don't know anything about it. But when it's the Olympics, when it's the granddaddy of them all, it's like, it's like professional sports. I'll watch a game seven in any sport, but I'm not watching an entire seven-game baseball. It's that kind of thing. So I do get excited about it. And having said that, I watched very little Olympics this year, so don't listen to me.
Well, we have another 2 years to prepare for the Summer Olympics in 2028 and another 4 years for the winter. So this show will go on forever, so we'll just have special coverage every time.
I like that. I like that. You think, Craig.
I think let's now move it on to let's move it on to the next one there, Dom. Someone discovered reverb. It's amazing. All right. This one I saw pop up, Pete. Tell me more about this one as far as Netflix, Donald Trump, and Susan Rice. That's a bingo card I never thought would be a thing.
And what grabbed me about this story was, my take on this is, who do you root for? Like, you've got our president who is silencing comedians, thinking everybody should be fired if they do something that goes against him. And Susan Rice, a former Obama cabinet member, I think she worked for the Trump administration too, was refusing to do stuff because she thinks Trump's popularity has declined. And she doesn't want to have, if the Democrats win the midterms, she thinks there will be retribution if they do something illegally. So Trump got mad at that, and then he's saying bad things about Netflix. And my thing is, who do you root for here? Because I disagree with what the president's doing with Colbert, Kimmel, and now here with Netflix. I also don't like Netflix. Even though I have Netflix, I don't want them to buy Warner Brothers. I don't want them to stop movies from going into the movie theater. I guess I kind of root for Susan Rice here. She kind of makes sense with that, but it's a tough one.
I didn't realize that Susan Rice worked for Netflix. What a weird crot. Like, you know, it's like
the
Oh, she's a board. I was the NSA. I was in charge. She was the UN ambassador. She was in the NSA. And then she's like, I'm going to go work at Netflix now. I'm the board member. I don't disagree with you. I would rather Netflix buy Warner Brothers than Paramount buy Warner Brothers, because I feel like there's way more problems with that. But yeah, don't make me pick the worst guy in the pot of bad guys.
It's really tough. I feel the same way, Greg, and I don't know who I want to buy Warner Brothers. I don't want anybody to buy Warner Brothers.
No,
Warner Brothers to be Warner Brothers. And what you just said is a great point. She's a board member. He's asking for them to fire a board member. Makes no sense.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. All right. We're coming right back after a very short break. This is the new and improved Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are so glad you're here with us tonight, folks, helping us kick this thing off right. Dom Lee working the board. That's a Monday, folks. We are coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We are back. It is the new and improved Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Dom Lee working the board. Great to have you here tonight, folks. This is exciting. This is our first show, and I think so far, Greg, I don't want to count my chickens, but I feel like we're onto something special here, buddy.
Are you listening, WBA? Are you listening? There it is.
I got two words for you: local Emmy. I don't know. Does that even apply to radio? No clue.
I've seen a local Emmy. They're tiny. They're small.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're smaller than the regular Emmy.
I don't even get out of bed for a tiny Emmy. And I dated a very petite girl named Emmy, so I really mean that.
There it is. Wow.
All right, so we've got to do our we'll do our question of the night, and then we'll get to our third big thing. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Nightlight question of the night. All right. I love this one. This is yesterday was Rachel Dratch's birthday.
Yeah.
SNL's Debbie Downer. Love her. So tonight's question is in honor of Debbie Downer. What is a topic that will kill a conversation? You can have fun with this one, folks. Go crazy or play it close to the vest, whatever you want to do. We've got some great social media responses, but that is tonight's question of the night. What is a topic that will kill a conversation? And you can get in touch with us and let us know your answer at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, ex-Twitter, whatever you want to call it, drop us a stream comment and we'll read it on the radio.
Excellent. I've got some ideas. We'll talk more about that in the second hour. But yeah, I definitely have some conversation killers that I've seen happen at parties. And you're just like, oh, I got to walk away right now because you said that out loud. Good job. But while we're talking top three stories of the day, we're going on to the final one. Dom? Oh, wow. We weren't on the air. This version of the show was not on the air. I was not on the air last week, so we didn't really get to talk about this, but this is pretty big news coming out of Madison. Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, after decades in power, is announced his retirement. He has been in basically the kind of the tastemaker, trendsetter guy in charge of Wisconsin Republican politics for a very long time. He is a property owner. He owns his own company. He owns a popcorn company, to which we refer to him as the Popcorn King. And we have a little moment there, Dom. No. Oh, that.
Is this it?
No, it's not it. That's fine. I'll try. Oh, man. All the first show bugs to work out. But yeah, he is going to be stepping down. There's been a lot of talk about this, Pete, about whether or not he's going to stay for another time, whether he's going to go for reelection. And he's decided to step down, which asks a lot of questions about where that seat will go, where the power for Madison will go. Will it go to the Democrats, Republicans? We have a big election coming up this fall. And the fact that Robin Voss will not be in the forefront is a very big deal. We'll be talking more about this in the coming months. He said in the story, he says, luckily, my doctors say I'm perfectly healthy, but I do need to reduce my stress. And let me tell you, this job is stressful. I have never seen this man register stress in my life. I've never seen anything make him happy, sad, mad at all. He never seems to have anything but just a straight face like, hey, your house is on fire. That's wonderful. So I don't know what makes him feel stressed, but what do you think about this, Pete?
Well, it's interesting because when he announced this, typically people from both sides of the aisle, even if they've said horrible things about each other, say, well, he's given great service and all that. This stuck out to me. Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Devin Remiker said in a statement that Voss tried his best to make state government dysfunctional. Mm. Now, that I thought, I like the honesty, but I also feel like Evers said some nice things about Voss.
Yeah,
he's got kind of a not controversial, but a mixed legacy, would you say? Like, obviously, he's popular with the Republicans, but he wasn't necessarily. He was an anti-Trumper in 2016, I believe. And then,
then he wasn't, Pete.
Then he wasn't. And when they tried to end him after all the investigation into the Stop the Steal nonsense, he kind of still said nice things to them about them. Yeah. He does have kind of a complicated legacy, in my opinion, anyway.
I mean, I understand that, and for me, I struggle to find nice things to say about him professionally. I have a very long history with him as far as my old work in city government, but I feel like this is a move. I mean, the policies are unpopular. I feel like what they're doing in Madison right now, they're not looking at. They have a short work year. Because the year after the budget, they're almost done for the entire year, and they're not, I don't believe, putting together bills that reflect the needs and desires of the people. But also, he has caused a lot of controversy, a lot of division, and I think that's going to be his legacy. I don't know what people can say, look what Robin Voss did, other than not accept Medicaid expansion and say a bunch of things about new moms. I'm a biased person on this one, and I don't find like the positives. Like when Governor Evers said what he said, I'm like, that's fine. Okay. You gotta be magnanimous.
Yeah, yeah, he's the governor. He's setting the tone and all that, but yeah, it was strange. Like, my wife is a teacher, so you know, I would say his tenure as speaker, not him alone. But when I came back, Scott Walker had just taken over, and teachers, you know, they broke the union basically. Yeah. So that, and later on, he played a part in teacher issues. So I, you know, I'm with you on that. But yeah. I think, you know, he always seemed to answer questions, and he always was forthright in his views. It's not like he ever, although the Trump thing, I don't understand. I don't know how you could still back a guy after he tried to end you. That threw me a little bit. You like to see a politician with a little more of a backbone, I guess.
We could probably have that conversation with our guest coming up. Mr. Noah Lieberman's coming up after the news, and he's running for Common Council, and I'm sure he has opinions on this matter.
I think you're right. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Peach Baba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. The other guy is Pete Schwabba. We got Dom Lee and Madison producing on the boards. And if you want to be part of the conversation, you can call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead after the 6 o'clock. I got to get used to that. I'm not on the evening. The 6 o'clock news. We're going to be talking to film critic Rob Thomas about the writings he does for Madison, the movies he is watching, and I'm going to just kind of sit back and watch Pete and Rob cut it up because they've been doing a lot of chatting, and I can't wait to get part of the conversation. But that's going to be after the 6 o'clock. Actually, that's going to be at 6:20. And then at 6:06, we'll be talking about the question of the day, which is, what is the conversation? What is the topic that can kill a conversation? You can call, text, you can send a voice message on the app if you don't have the app. So it's wonderful to be part of the Civic Media app. Download it. It's absolutely free. But that's all coming up in the second hour. But now we're going to be moving on to our first guest. Our first guest of the brand new version of Nightlight 2.0. He is the host of the What's Left podcast, as well as a candidate running for Common Council in Madison. Mr. Noah Lieberman is our guest. Good afternoon / evening, Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm really excited to be here.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Now, you are running for Common Council in Madison. Let's kick it off right there. Tell us about, you know, tell us about yourself as well as why you are running. From the podcast I've listened to, this is not your first attempt at running, but you are making another go for it this time. Tell us about that story.
I am. So I have always been very interested in politics, and especially in our local government. Mm-hmm. Local government, I really feel, is how we as a community band together, use our collective power, and help each other out. And right now we are in a moment nationally, but also locally, where we need to be helping each other out as we can. There's just so many forces fighting against us, trying to drive us apart, where we need to stick together. I ran for this seat for the first time in 2023. And that was an election that, after a recount, was literally tied. My opponent and I had the same number of votes cast for us. So they wrote our names on slips of paper, put them in a bag, and drew his out instead of mine.
What?
That seems like something you did in the 1600s, not something you did in a modern America.
Even a thumb war would have been a better way to...
Oh, yeah. I've thought about it as a Dungeons and Dragons nerd. I was ready to roll some dice for it, but no, this is the way that it is prescribed under Wisconsin law. But it really, like, it goes to show that, especially here on a local level, every single vote matters. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about these districts in for city council races in Madison or other cities around Wisconsin, where you have a larger number of seats than you do in some of the other places I've lived in my life, it's really about how those candidates connect with individual people, with their neighbors, with the folks in their community and living in their backyard. And, you know, just one, I try not to dwell on it too much, but just one conversation could have swung either way there. So, But I am running for it again. The incumbent isn't running for a term, so I threw my hat back in the ring here, and I'm just really excited to be back out there talking with folks, hearing their concerns, what they really care about in this city, and sharing with them the vision I have to build on Madison's progressive legacy and really make sure that we are staying that that great place that drew me here and that I know draws more and more people every day.
No, you've been the chair of the Landlord-Tenant Issues Committee. Just to mention Robin Voss again, he's on his way out. He owns student housing. Is there any, what are your thoughts on his retirement, if you have any? And also, what are the biggest housing issues you've faced? Because you've made that part of your campaign too, that issue.
Yeah, I guess my first thought is good riddance.
You tell know, us I how am, you really feel there, Noah. Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah, buddy. Well, I would, but you all told me I'm not allowed to swear on the radio. So.
Well, thank you for respecting that.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. if you want some R-rated thoughts, come check out my podcast.
I did.
The housing struggles we face, Robin Voss, not a great landlord. Robin Voss also is probably the number one friend of bad landlords in at least the recent history of the state of Wisconsin. Under his leadership, the state legislature passed and then Scott Walker signed all sorts of laws just protecting landlords from their own tenants, from any real consequences when they violate sort of the social contract of needing to provide good housing to people, and really hamstringing cities from being able to be more proactive. One of the biggest things we dealt with on the Landlord-Tenant Issues Committee was the process of rent abatement, which is when your landlord does not provide you a habitable home, whether that's because there's a hole in the wall, the heating doesn't work, they haven't fixed your oven in however long, you can go into a legal process where the if you prove that they have not taken the steps to address your concerns, you are owed some of the rent that you paid to them because they were not living up to their end of the bargain. And Robin Voss and Republicans made it so that at every step of that process, the odds were just stacked against the tenant. They prevented the cities from doing more proactive outreach. They made it so that the amounts that could be paid were reduced. Just really adding bureaucracy onto this so that landlords could do whatever they wanted, basically.
Yeah.
And that is sort of the core of the housing problems we face in Madison, is that this is this unrestrained free market capitalism run amok where the people with the power, the landlords, have been able to just raise prices over and over again without any relief coming to the people who need it, which is the tenants.
If you're just joining us on Nightlight, we are talking to Noah Lieberman, who is running for, it is the District 14 of the Common Council in Madison, is also the host of the What's Left podcast. And you bring up something very interesting there. I find it so interesting to me when the party of less government puts on more government in order to make themselves, to enrich them, to make it easier. And I think, you know, what they do as well, and I want to ask you what you're hearing from people is, making the barrier so high and so thick that the people just say, well, I'm not going to bother. This is going to take me forever, and I don't have the money or time. When you're talking to people out there on the either on the campaign trail or just talking to people in general, because you are a person of politics in the community, what are you hearing from the people as far as having a voice, believing their vote counts, knowing that when they do go to the ballot box that they are going to be counted and they will get representation that actually speaks for them, not just gets the job and says, eh, they'll be fine. I mean, it feels like people are up against walls right now. And how are you helping them navigate that sort of intimidation or frustration?
Absolutely. Well, the number one thing that I can do as a candidate is just to show up. I was out for 6 hours a day in the freezing weather this past weekend, just knocking on doors, talking with voters, showing up, whether they agree with me or not on the issues, making sure they know that I am there to hear from them. And that is the real joy of local politics to me, is that it is at a small enough level where you can connect with each voter, with everybody who has a concern. And you might not vote their way every single time, but you can have that conversation and make sure that they are heard. As far as Republicans sort of breaking our government, it has this chilling effect, not just on people not believing in elections, but not believing in the processes of government in general. When things are broken, people assume that's just how it has to be with government. That's the way that the system has always worked and will always work. When really those are deliberate choices. The city cannot ask landlords to send them data on how much they charge for rent or what their occupancy rates are. We have to collect all that data ourselves in harder ways. And that just makes the whole process slow down and makes it harder for us to help tenants. That is a deliberate choice. That is something Republicans did to make it so that the government does not work for you as the average person and only benefits the people who already have the money, already have the power. But one of the big things I focus on in my campaign and in my podcast is that we are capable of making big systemic changes that will change the face of government to make it so that it works for the people. Works not just the way it was originally imagined, but even better, can achieve so much more for folks and go even further. And I'm really inspired by the folks I talk to on my podcast and other candidates who are running here and across the state and across the country who are really aiming higher than I think candidates have in the past and are making this push for truly effective changes to our system.
Well said. Noah, your opponent's name is Kate Blood. That's got to be intimidating. But she also has made an issue about affordable housing to Madisonians. How do you guys, do you differ on that issue? And if so, how? And what are some of your other things you're hoping to accomplish if you win?
I don't. First, let me just say, I've met Kate a few times. I was actually helping her get her campaign started before our incumbent decided not to run. She is a great person, and I think her commitment to affordable housing is genuine, and I really appreciate her being focused on that issue as well, because I think it's the issue for our cities and something everybody running should be focused on. For me, the focus comes to those systemic changes. There are things that the city is doing that are within the bounds of the law, the things that we can be doing right now, but I'm hopeful that Democrats will retake the assembly and hold on to the governorship in this upcoming November election. And in striking down some of those preemptive laws that Robin Voss and Scott Walker enacted, our city will be able to take real action. And so for me, what that means is not coming in with this mindset of compromise or moderation, coming in to say, let's pass policies that we've seen be effective in other places, like a right to remain, allowing folks to stay in rental housing at a reasonable price without having to go through this search every year of finding more and more scarce housing that's more and more unaffordable. That, I think, is the biggest difference, at least from what I've seen, is that preparation for the next step of really swinging for the fences with legislation once our hands are untied.
We're going to keep the conversation going with Noah Lieberman. He is running for District 14 in the District 14 Common Council seat in Madison. Also the host of the What's Left podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcast. We're going to keep the conversation going. You can be part of that conversation. Feel free to call, text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on our live stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free, so download that and be a part of the discussion. When we come back, we're going to talk about folks running for office, being a part of the process, and how they can get involved as Noah is a recruiter for candidates in the area, and we can discuss how you can become involved when we come back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Rob Thomas, the film critic, about movies he's watching, stories he's working on, and I got questions about movies that are not comic book related, but we'll talk more about that in the second hour. And we'll also get to the question of the night, which is what topic will kill a conversation best? You can get that into us by calling, texting, or leaving a comment on the live stream. But right now we are talking to Noah Lieberman, who is the host of the podcast entitled What's Left Wisconsin. He is also running for the 14th district of the Madison City Council. We were talking about your thoughts on your campaign, the story of why you are running, and one of the things you do is you help recruit folks who might want to run. And for you, when you approach someone, what are the steps, and what if someone's looking to run, what are the questions they should be asking as far as throwing their hat into the ring, whether it's a city council, county board, school board? What should people be looking for when they are interested in trying to get elected?
The best time to approach is actually way before you want to run, because one of the things I recommend to anybody who's looking to run for office in the near or distant future is get involved with your local government, with whatever branch you want to serve in some other way before you run, because it really lets you know what that experience is like and what is awaiting you if you do win your election. So I will recommend to anybody, apply to be on city or county committees, or just try to talk with your elected officials. And I mean, that's one of the benefits of us having such small districts here, is that you can get in touch with your person. They are one of your neighbors, and that will give you a good sign of what their day-to-day is like. And if this is the way that you want to be involved and make a difference in your community, or if there's something else you want to do. Once you decide to run, the number one thing is just getting out there and talking to people. People have this idea that all politics looks like the presidential elections, where you are on TV doing debates and running commercials. When you are running for a local office, it is just about talking with folks one-on-one. And so making sure that you have that pitch for yourself of why you are running for this office, what you want to achieve, and that you are also able to talk with people and listen and make them feel heard, that you know some of the questions they might ask for you about the issues in your community, in your city, or for your schools.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Noah Lieberman is our guest here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. He's running for a seat on the Madison Common Council in District 14. You came from North Carolina, Noah, relocated to Madison several years ago. As a progressive, where is your voice more effective, in a place like North Carolina or in Madison? Because now you're surrounded by, I would assume, like-minded people, although there are different levels of progressiveness. But how has that transition been for you, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think certainly on a local level, there's a big difference living in Madison versus being in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I was raised. Madison has this history of progressive values and government that makes it so that people are more willing to pursue the kinds of policies I was talking about before, these big changes that really work for people. However, I also think that there is this mindset that some folks who have been in Madison for a long time have of, well, we're the progressive city, so whatever we're already doing is the progressive thing. I think that back when I was in North Carolina, a lot of the young Democrats, folks on the further left side of the spectrum, were more open about criticizing the way things are run and trying to pursue policies, even if they knew they weren't going to ultimately be passed and be enacted. But I think that that same sort of coalition is building here in Madison from folks who have been here a while, and also from folks like myself who came here either for college or for a job and fell in love with this city, but are really wanting to make sure that it is even better, just continues to build on that legacy that brought us all here.
And before we get out of here, one more thing I wanted to ask you. You know, when you said you've been out there talking to people, and Madison seen as a progressive city, but there are folks out there who do vote on the right or maybe center. What are the things you're hearing from the people that really unite everyone, regardless of their party or who they voted for? The concerns of people out there who, you know, all of those matters seem to connect, which means that we have more in common than we'd like to believe.
Housing is the number one thing. Whether you're on the left or the right, you want to be able to have an affordable place to live. And more what I'm hearing from folks who are maybe older and on the right is they want an affordable place for their kids to live. Mm-hmm. They want their children to be able to stay in their community, in their neighborhood. And that's just not going to be possible unless we have new affordable housing in our city here. So that is the big push that I am working with folks, whether you're on the left, right, or center, that you're going there.
Well, Noah, we wish you all the luck. If people want to get in touch with you, want to know more, where can they go? Give us your website. Tell us all the ways to get in touch with you.
Yeah, so you can find me at noahforcouncil.com. My email is just noah@noahforcouncil. I would love to hear from you if you're in Madison, and certainly if you're in my district and you have issues that you care about. But I've heard from people all around the state, all around the country, who just care about housing, environmentalism, the things that I'm pushing for and want to be part of this broader movement. And then for my podcast, you can find that by searching for What's Left Wisconsin in whatever podcast app that you use. And I have really great interviews there with folks in Madison and around the state who are coming at progressive politics from all sorts of angles, and just really fascinating deep dive conversations there.
And you get, if you check out his podcast, you get another side of Noah. You get Noah Unleashed. This is nice guy, Noah. So I recommend definitely checking it out.
Check out What's Left Wisconsin wherever you get your podcast. Noah Lieberman has been our guest today. He is running for the city council in Madison of District 14. Noah, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time. Come on back. Let us know how the campaign's going. There's a lot more time ahead. And have a wonderful night.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks, all right. Noah. When we come back, we're talking question of the day. What topic will kill a conversation? Let us know. 855-752-4842 here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.